You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's RuPaul's Drag Race After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's RuPaul's Drag Race After Show.
Hit it.
It's all in me. Anything you want to be.
We can just push in on Jackie. You're doing fine. Do it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of AfterBuzz TV's RuPaul's Drag Race After Show. I'm your host, Kenny Harrison. Next to me is the lovely
Jackie Borowski.
Next to her is the lovely
Cameron Marston.
And running the show tonight is our main gal,
Marissa.
What's up, everyone?
Hi, Marissa.
I love the song.
I love the song, too. Well, this was a song they did for the Lip Sync for Your Life, which, in my opinion, this is what a Lip Sync for Your Life song should be.
It is. That is correct.
But we'll get to that.
Oh, ask me about my outfit tonight.
What's your outfit tonight, Jackie?
I am the missing character from Shade the Rusical, which is Party City Princess.
Okay. What act?
These items are actually from Party City.
What act should that have belonged in?
The third act.
Third act. But musicals only come in two acts, right?
Oh, well, this is like a long, old-timey-timey one.
Okay. On that note, we are missing one person tonight.
Where are we?
Where are we? And we just started.
That's where Tony is. Wherever we are, that's where Tony is. Tony Moore is not with us tonight. I really don't know where he is, but hopefully he's well.
And because we're so tight, he sends his apologies.
Yes. And
we were going to have a cardboard cutout here for Cam to make out with.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah. So it's the three of us and Marissa, and we're going to get into it. What do you guys think of the episode? Your first impressions?
Favorite one so far.
Yeah. Cameron?
No, yeah, totally. My favorite episode. Sorry, I was trying to think of what I was going to say. My opinion has changed about many of the queens. So I guess that's
mine too.
I will agree with you on that.
Mine too.
And we're going to get to that. But first, I want to remind our audience, again, thank you for watching us. If you're tuning in live, we are here, AfterBuzzTV.com. If you want to call us up, call us. We are in Studio B tonight. The number here is 424-256-1663. 1633. That's what Marissa said. This is why we love Marissa.
What she said.
She keeps us on track. If you're watching us on YouTube, thank you again. Yeah. Make your comments. Shout out to Pinky.
Oh, can I give shout outs?
Yeah,
so
sure.
We can do that.
Sure.
I would also like to thank our listeners on iTunes our listeners on iTunes. And
yeah.
Thanks for commenting. I read those comments, too. We read them, too.
She does.
Real Gato, I love you, too. Music for the Soul, thanks for commenting. And then I can't shout out to everyone. I try to talk to at least everyone on YouTube. But Shannon K, thanks for trying to stick up for us. Thanks for trying to stick up for us. Matthew from France, salut. Salvador.
Oui.
And Jeremy.
Jackie, where are you reading this stuff from?
My notes, because I cannot keep everything in my head. If this was a play, I would memorize it, but this is a live show.
Speaking of Europe, Kenny, tell us about your shirt.
This shirt, I thought I was being clever because Courtney Act won the challenge, and I thought this was the flag of Australia. I'm going to stand up.
It's a British flag for the iTunes listeners.
So thank you, Google, for straightening it out
for
me today.
She tries hard. She does.
I tried. But obviously I can't top Jackie because she's always, if it's not St. Patty's Day, it's her Rue the Musical Act 3.
I'm only trying to top myself.
No.
Which is going to become a
problem. She's the PCP girl.
Someone called you out on it, stealing my thunder. So there you go.
Wait. I just wanted
Sorry.
Salvador and Jeremy, they called out the Courtney versus Adore showdown, totally. Which I wanted to shout out to them. And to our new viewers Cherry Pop and Jasmine Faye Queen. And then and to Fencer, how this lip sync, we'll talk about it later, but he was saying that there were boring lip syncs, and I didn't think this one was boring.
Well, I think overall this was a great episode. But before we get into it, I want to plug our Maria Menounos. Her show is debuting tonight, actually. So if you're not watching this, please watch the show. It is on Oxygen, and it's Tuesday night at 10 p.m., and I'm assuming that's Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time.
And somebody asked if that was her real laugh in the last...
on our YouTube comments, and I believe it is. Because if you go back to watch Dance with the Stars,
she was giving me a little Fran Drescher.
Yeah. Okay, guys, so the beginning of the episode, we start off with alluded to a Bianca versus Gia showdown. Maybe at the beginning of the episode, it seemed that way, but it didn't seem like way throughout the remainder of the episode, because it kind of turned into a Bianca versus Trinity towards the end with the challenge and, you know, everything else.
Yeah.
But I just think it also has to do with the fact that at least Bianca and Gia are very vocal people. And then Trinity started to become vocally, like, not curmudgeon-y, grumpy. Grumpy.
I thought she was just frustrated because she didn't know what was going on.
So I will apologize because I did have her in my top three, and I had that one wrong.
Well, we can talk about it because there are a lot of other queens that I was like, I don't really care for you.
And now I'm like them.
For me, I think Jocelyn is turning around a little bit.
Yeah.
And because I find her entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I was just like, oh, she's just dumb. And
her asides.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I find her asides very interesting.
No, but I like Trinity's asides too, but as a character person, I don't know.
It's Trinity is going down. And after watching Untucked, which we'll talk about later, my LaGanja radar has gone down. I didn't really care for it at the beginning. Now it's just like, I want her gone.
After watching Untucked, my Ben de la Creme radar went far up.
Oh, yeah. I've always liked him.
And that's pretty far.
I think that's pretty far. Far up. All the way up.
Repeatedly
up.
Is that it? For all the turns?
Well, Trinity, I think you can only be grumpy about the challenges you have to face. You're given a pass, but two episodes in a row, it just seems like everybody is in the same position.
Now, here's the thing. Do you think it's fair to have two acting challenges back to back?
First of all, I mean, again, I hate saying
it. Isn't being a drag queen kind of like acting?
Well, yeah, and then you guys always say it. It's season 6. You should come prepared for whatever you're going to get thrown your way. And for her to say, I'm a drag queen and I lip sync, I mean, you know, it's again season 6. Oh, I hate saying that. But it is. It's season 6. Get a clue.
But then I didn't find his singing that bad.
No, I mean, neither did I, but I think he's just a pessimist, so.
Right.
It's out of his comfort zone, so.
It was bad compared to everyone else.
I thought it was better than a lot of other people, but we'll get to that later. I want to talk about the mini challenge.
Okay.
And I want to talk about RuPaul's suit. It was kind of like the coffee color with the brown, dark brown underneath, and then the blue handkerchief. I thought it was.
He always has really amazing suits.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you compare the suits to him out of drag to him in drag, it's this, you know, he's always on point.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I don't think tonight's runway look was my favorite.
No, you're not there yet.
But, so the mini challenge was female or she-male. So
I liked
giving
that.
They were giving pictures of close-up appendages or body parts of females. And the contestants had to guess whether it was a female or she-male. And I thought it was a clever little game.
My favorite was Tyra Banks.
Okay. So, I wonder where that picture came from. Because, obviously, it was horrible. Obviously, there was a line drawn right above her hairline.
But, and ironically, or maybe not ironically, the guy that was with Rue, what is...
The Us Weekly guy.
That, him.
I didn't
He made the comment about some makeup artist is going to get fired. And you know who was a prior makeup artist for
Was Tyra. Raja.
It was Raja.
Yeah. But yeah. I doubt that was
Raja's
her.
Makeup looks good,
just a reference.
Yeah.
I liked that, too, because I liked how, as a viewer, it was challenging me as well. Because we have not necessarily people that watch Drag Race, but in general, it's just, it reminds you that you see a lot of people in society and you make a judgment based on their body parts, based on their body type, whether or not they're a man or a woman. And it was perfect for this show because I'm watching it and I'm having the same trouble that the contestants on Drag Race are. I'm like, oh, that's a man. Oh, no, it's a woman. Oh, that's a man. No. Oh. And they were having the same problems.
Well, women like China, right. The wrestler, who really manly features, and Tan Mom, which I agree with Ben. I don't know if that was an ace. It was just weird. But yeah, I thought it was a fun little challenge. But they did what Jackie hates, is the whole MTV split screen. So it was confusing. Were you confused?
That one didn't bother me because there wasn't, it was just kind of like a yes or no question.
Right.
Versus, I'm not trying to hone in on a performance.
Got it.
So for that, I didn't have a problem because I can assess yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, female, female, like comparatively. And they helped blue and pink. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's really simple.
Right.
But when I'm trying to evaluate a performance, I don't want to see five performances next to each other. That's confusing.
There you have it.
No.
So the winners of the mini challenge were Adore and Ben Delacreme. Adore, her second mini challenge win. So they had to pick teams again. And this time the teams were mixed up a little bit. You had Adore. On her team, there was Milk, Jocelyn, LaGanja, and April. So there was a team of five. And then the remaining seven were on Team Ben Delacreme.
So
Cameron's going to speak now.
I mean, and it's a term here that I learned here at AfterBuzz from DJ Jesse Janity. It's called Dick in the Soup, where there's extreme manipulation by the producers.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Adore, just saying, and I wanted to sabotage Courtney, knowing that she's the other singer in the group, I would have put her on my team, and I would have picked her role.
Well, here's the thing that I noticed, and I was thinking the same thing, but what they did was they gave Ben Delacreme the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously. And with what you just said, I felt that the roles were divided amongst the girls in the groups as if RuPaul was to do this, mm-hmm. you know? And it was like evenly, it was obviously Courtney was going to play the good girl. Adore was going to be the bad version of the good girl. And it was just like, I thought it was too manipulated. I thought it was too
contrived.
I'm not, as far as the... Producers tend to do a lot of times in reality TV is they tend to put the inevitable option in front of you. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say they know someone tends towards this, they put that option in front of them, which is why they had Ben pick first, because they know Ben is going to pick the only other amazing singer that is out there, mm-hmm. which would be Courtney.
Right.
So you don't even give Adore that option. But as far as the picking team, like as far as the picking for individual roles, it seemed to me though like they were actually having a say in their own roles this mm-hmm. time versus last time where it was just kind of like you do that, you do that, you do
that. Well, that was because of the captains last time.
Right.
And I think Adore learned from her mistake from last time. But one of my things that I didn't like about this episode or kind of the show in general is that you have... For instance, you know you have two singers on the show this season. Mm-hmm. Last season you had
two dancers.
So I feel as though that the show not necessarily catering to the strengths of those contestants, but they do want to see, you know, they want to put that together to see if they can create something. And for me, the whole singing competition between Courtney and Adore there wasn't any competition, mainly because they were on two different teams. So I didn't feel that necessary competition aspect of what I think the producers were going for,
mm-hmm.
whereas I felt bad for those who couldn't sing, like April, or who can't perform musical theater, and I feel that those contestants kind of get the shaft, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking, as I'm saying this, it should be the other way around, where you have really no dancers on this season. You should have your dancing challenge this season, and you had no singers last season. You should have had your musical last season, you know what I mean? Make things more interesting, instead of catering to, because we've all, well...
But what about Where My People At?
Yeah, but they had the singing too. So it's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah, it is. But I feel as though that it's contrived, because if I had my way, I think Adora would have been in the bottom two for the last 2 weeks, and I think she would have been gone home by this time. But I think we had some comments on YouTube saying they needed her for this particular episode.
And honestly, don't you? I feel a little bit slighted, like, because it should be by talent. For myself, I think she should have gone home as well. I don't care about the American Idol
thing. I feel like
Adora
is talented, though. To me, Adora is talented.
I'm not saying she's not. I just don't see her as a talent. I don't think her talent is in drag.
And I don't see her as a competitor in this competition as far as drag.
But I will say that going by trailers and the different costumes that I've seen in the trailers with her, it looks like she's going to be here for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it.
I like Adora.
We do. We know you do.
Even though she doesn't cinch her waist, I'm okay. Her makeup is beautiful to me.
So, ish. So we'll get to that. So the main stage, the main challenge was Shade the Rusical, and it was the first time they've done that. And I think they broke it up into two acts. And I thought, overall, I thought it was a pretty decent production.
Here is the thing. So overall, I was like, oh, this is, I mean, I didn't really see, to me, overall, any person who I could pick out to be the bottom. I didn't see that overall. Then when I watched Untucked, I realized from the clips they were showing in Untucked that there was more to the musical.
Right.
And that is what frustrated me, because I'm like, now I know that they, of course, edited it for the best performances, right. So now we don't know what they're judging on.
Right.
Which is always, it's always a toss-up when you think about that, because you're like, okay, I don't think, from what I saw, I don't think April did a bad job with what she had. Now, from what they saw... Mm-hmm. That could be entirely different.
Right. And I think also, I think this is another one of those challenges where there was so much editing-wise that they had to go by, is that they only have an hour. And I think, I always try to go back and rewatch it to see where they could, like, take a minute or two. Like, for instance, my big thing is Ruse, when she comes out on the main stage, that is time wasted, because it's just lights flashing, and it's just like, we get it, it's your show, and I love RuPaul, she's the reason why I watch the show, but come on, that, although it might have been 30 seconds, 45 seconds at most, that time could have been well spent with something more significant, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay.
I get it.
That's my soapbox moment.
I will say that I definitely liked Act 1 more than I liked Act 2, I could have done without Act 2, honestly.
Well, I think Act 2 just failed for me. I think it was more interesting, Act 1, in general. But I want to back up, because they had rehearsals before they actually went on the main stage. Yes. And they had rehearsals with Lucien
Piani.
His sister, Denise, and Our Lady J. I got it right?
Yeah, Our Lady J.
And Lady J. I thought it was... Again, Jackie just mentioned it. I think the editing, there was so much more that we could have seen, and they just didn't have enough time.
Right.
I think they've mainly focused on, with Team De La Creme, Trinity's, you know.
Yes.
Kind of whatever that was.
Continuous excuses. Grumpiness.
Yeah. And I think this is why I love Bianca Del Rio, is because without saying, because she has a lot to say, but some of her facial expressions are just enough. And it was just, it all worked for me.
As much as she has bothered me in past episodes, kind of being like that person who just says everything all the time, is there's a certain level of, like, wanting too much attention. And that can get to me. It's like, I understand you're on the show, you're in it to win it, and that's why you're here. But at the same time, it's like, you don't have to talk all the time. You don't have to keep talking while your brain's still thinking.
But I think she has that. It's already there. It's quick. And I kind of live for, like, because I hate to be, like, Debbie Downer, but a lot of the contestants are boring.
What is it? Debbie Downward? Who said that?
In the- April.
April.
As she was leaving. She said, I don't know what the
Downward
word
is. Downward Debbie is what she said.
Downward Debbie. That's correct. As Trinity also said, difficultness.
But while we're talking about April, I think, do you guys, we've always seen this with the Puerto Rican or the Hispanic queens that are on the show. Is it the communication?
I think there's a definite language... Well, not language barrier. I think her accent was hindering for her.
For me, though, I don't think she should have gone home tonight. I don't at all. And that's what frustrated me. Because I think the person who spends the most time... It's like... you're here for the competition. You're not here to keep complaining about how you don't think you can live up to the competition. And April was moving forward with grace and style, and I really didn't think she did that. Like, compared to Trinity, to me, Trinity did worse.
So you
in the
think
clip
it should have been
saw,
the other way?
I think it should have been the other way around. Because to me, Trinity did worse and in the competition than April did with what they were given. And I also think that to me the lip sync was a draw. And so it's like, if we're not basing this on the lip sync, if we're just basing it on the performance, I really think Trinity should have gone home. And I think that, again, it's another tired thing where you're like, oh, this queen is like having language troubles. Mm-hmm. You know, although I do love, I'm gonna miss her. Dios mio.
There you go. That's the Spanish language of the night.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It
Spanish
means...
language of the night. No, oh. I know what, I know what that means. I was just thinking about what I just said.
Oh. But back to, I forgot my point about Bianca. My point about Bianca was actually in this episode, I started to like her because I realized she is really carefully trying to pick what she says. Even when she was speaking to Trinity, there have been queens in the past that just snap on a dime and turn on you and say the nastiest thing to your face.
And that's the thing about Bianca. I think she was actually trying to help her.
She was actually trying to help her.
And then it's like, once you get to a point where you're just talking to a brick wall, it's just like, all right, well, I do what I,
right.
You know. And this goes back to last week when she said, why don't you try to act black? You know, it wasn't meant, I don't think it was intended to be hurtful, but I think Trinity might have taken it that way, and I think we're seeing a pattern now, is that, mm-hmm. you know, Bianca's trying to be this mother hen and trying to be helpful.
Right.
And I can see where it may come off as kind of condescending.
Mm-hmm.
And she also mentioned, I mean, there's a big age difference, 37,
yes.
22, I mean,
yes.
obviously. And we all know, well, when I was 22, I thought I knew everything.
Right.
You know, and right. I think that's the mentality, and I think... And there are a lot of young queens on this, like Gia. Well, and speaking of which, let's segue into that. I find her very hit or miss. And I'm not just talking about competition-wise. Like, last week I thought she was hilarious. I thought she was funny. I found her very annoying and very just kind of like, just shut up already.
I think she's polarized the audience more than Bianca has.
Uh-huh.
Which actually is a good thing.
Well, for her, I think it will be very good. And I, like you said in the promos... I've seen a lot of different looks from her, so I think she's gonna go far in the competition.
Well, they picked on April's makeup, and when you got into Untucked and you could see her under brighter lights, her makeup was just
same.
Like April's.
But then again, that might have been the lighting too. Maybe they didn't see it on the main stage.
Yeah.
I didn't see it on the main stage.
Yeah.
Too.
So.
And I love how they Darian describes her voice as Fran Drescher got steamrolled by a dying duck.
But I liked how they clocked her on the runway. And they're like, why is she safe and you're still up here? But then I like her comeback too.
Mm.
So. Yeah.
I also how she doesn't like, okay. Oh, we're not talking about Untucked yet.
We can if you want.
Well, I just feel Gia, you have Jocelyn calling Gia ignorant. And to a certain level, she is because she doesn't, there are things she just doesn't know.
Okay.
Like, she didn't know what a Tony was.
Okay. And I think those little comments, I think they're meant to be like, oh, look at me, I'm dumb. I think she's doing it purposefully.
Hello, I was just about to say it. I was waiting for somebody. She's sandbagging.
Yeah. I think she clearly knows what a Tony is. And she made another comment earlier about, when they were on stage rehearsing and he was like, you know, beans and, you know, literally.
Oh.
Granted, maybe she didn't at the time, but I think she knows what she's doing, and she's getting attention for it.
Do you think she did in the last episode when they asked her about the black...
Totally.
She took such a long pause, and her eyes were, like,
no,
dead.
But I think either you or Tony said she paused because she knew that the producer was right, and she's like, no.
How do I spin this?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it was very effective, and I found it very funny. But like this week, it's now the opposite. I'm just like, oh god,
because I didn't want to like her because you know I love a fish queen, but also she was getting on my nerves. But I have to say, I feel like she's sandbagging. I think she's playing the game.
She's playing.
Yeah,
she's like I feel like she's playing dumb, but deep down she's like very calculated and just like Arya knows. What's going on?
You know, and referring to the whole Kabuki training and all of that kind of stuff. Because actually, I went back when I watched it the second time to watch the Act 1 performance. She was on point.
Yes.
She was crazy on point. And she was really good.
And I didn't think that her... Well, I don't think...
Well, voice, take the voice out of
it. Here's the thing. This is my problem with this particular challenge is that it's not... First of all, it's not a level playing field as far as singers versus non-singers. You also... It's not a level playing field versus parts where you have...
Well, here's the thing. We don't know that. That was the thing. There were bigger parts. Like, you saw bigger parts than Untucked.
But let's just break it down to what we saw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got Courtney Act. She's the main character in the first act. And then you had two actresses playing the pageant queens. And then you had two actresses playing the comedy queens. They're basically the same character. Mm-hmm. Their lines are broken up. So if you do it by lines, obviously Courtney has the most lines. And so she has the most to put forward. Whereas, like, and I kind of felt a little, it was a little unfair for Darian Lake because she didn't have many lines. And then she had Gia next to her, who was, I agree with Cameron, who did phenomenal. Now you go to the second act and you have Adore, who had the most lines. And, you know, oh, I'll back up a little bit. Ben De La Creme's role also was...
Ben was amazing.
Though. I think he was the winner.
That's what I thought. I agree.
In this challenge. And I totally disagree with Michelle because I think for theater, and you know this because you're a theater major, he had the most expression and he had the most...
I live for his performances.
Theater.
She does.
Theater is totally different from on camera. Camera, movie, theater, television, they tell you less is more. Theater more is great.
Yeah.
Or I don't know the term, but he did.
You always, in theater, you always want to give your biggest performance and then be told if you have to pull back.
Right. And I think he did just that. And I feel as though, as far as performance wise, in the rehearsals, I don't think Lucian was particularly, like, was doing the directing. I think it was just more voice.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong. No, because maybe there was more, but I think they relied on their instincts as far as the performance wise. Yeah. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I think this was one of the challenges where they should have actually had an audience. I thought, you know, go to Pantages Theater and fill it up with a room full of people and, like, let them perform. And I think that would have been amazing.
And I, like, Ben's performance in this one, Ben's performance in the last one, I was like, I am living for Ben's performance.
He's the one, I think he's the one to watch.
Yeah.
I think he's the one to watch. I don't know where I went.
And his asides, like, the things that he is saying in his asides are so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Oh, and his facial, he's on point.
He's another one who's kind of floating on the radar, but whenever he turns it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, going to the team Adore, you had three people playing the Dream Girl characters, and it was just kind of like, you know, for me, I didn't see Jocelyn being the butch one. It was just, that didn't read, from what I saw, that didn't read for me. And, you know, they clocked April for being the big girl but not having the attitude, which I agree, but at the same time it's just, you know,
I agree with that.
Else you could do. And I would say Milk and Laganja in drag in this performance, I didn't know who was who.
Yes.
And I think I got kind of lost because I was like, is that Milk or is, you know, because I think because they look so similar, I just got lost and I didn't really know who was Milk.
What to me, Milk's they start was. even though Milk is kind of is more quirky than Laganja, as far as like Milk likes to think of like a character and then put it out there, but the end result, like versus like, I know there's a difference going into their head what kind of drag they're trying to do, but the end result when you look at it, to me, Laganja and Milk tend to look similar,
right?
With their end result,
right? Just look for the sundial.
And another thing,
the sundial.
Her nose.
Boy.
Another thing that Jackie pointed out, as far as the editing, is that they got to pick their own costumes. Which in the actual episode, you didn't know where any of the costumes came from, whether it was given to them, whether they had something to choose from. But
Party City.
Party City. But in Untucked, when Adore said, you know, Milk took over and blah, 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 you got to see where she was kind of like, you know, and I think that's something that for me as a viewer, I would want to see in the actual episode because, you know, I want to be able to put everything together. I think the show is too choppy for me. Like, for instance, like the judges' comments, I don't want to see breaks. I don't want to see reaction shots. I want to see them have a, like, if it was American Idol or Dancing with the Stars, the judges, it's live. They don't have time to cut between, you know, if Michelle's saying something, I want Santino to interrupt or vice versa. I want that, you know. But I feel like the show, they're creating these not necessarily true.
We had a couple comments on YouTube about how people feel like this show is going down the drain.
Well, and it's because, for one, it's because of the editing, I think.
I'd agree.
There is some weird editing. And I'm not sure. We talked about this last season. I'm not sure I like the idea of them starting off the new episode kind of looking back towards the old episode. I feel like it's a waste of time because they're coming into the room and then they're looking at the queen that's left. And it's like, that could be safe for Untuck or for some other supplemental clip on Logo TV, whereas it just seems to take up time from the episode.
What I talked about earlier about the RuPaul, that was another editing note that I would love to give to the editors. That's a good 5 minutes. First of all, that introduction is about 3 minutes long, mm-hmm. going with coming back off of the runway, then going into this whole Gia, Bianca Del Rio versus, you know, thing, and then going into the title sequence. It's like, that's 3 minutes of the show that, you know, could have been spent on the runway, which they chopped that in half.
Oh, yes.
And I literally...
So quick.
And we can talk about it now. The runway was... The theme was Tony Awards Glamour. And it was like, I would have loved to hear the commentary as usual mm-hmm. on that. And it was just like, Bianca Del Rio, Jocelyn Fox.
It was so
like,
quick. I had to pause because I had to see the actual outfit.
And there were a lot... And I would love to have heard the critiques on Milk's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that was the only one that really stood out for me because it was different.
Well, because she was pregnant and then wearing stocking shoes.
Well, what do you think about that?
To me, that goes with along... I mean, it's not a choice I would pick for the theme, and it's not a choice I agree with for the theme, but I see that she consistently picks characters, so she had to, in her mind, think of a character. And you can't really, if you're going to the Tony Awards, you can't really make it a character because it's supposed to be a person. So I guess, like, her way of, like, compensating with that was like, oh, I'll be pregnant.
Right. I think
I think it's just silly. It's like, come on.
I think if she would have just went with the pregnant thing but made it just glamorous, minus the shoes, because they had the little flower petal at the bottom, and then minus the socks, they were red for some reason. I didn't get it.
Or highlighted the fact that she was pregnant, because when I first, I'll say this, when I watched the runway and I paused it, the way the dress is all black, so the way the dress was, I was like, what is happening? Is there a hernia? What's going on? It wasn't until Untucked that I noticed that she was actually trying to be pregnant, because I was like, it didn't read well, like, properly on screen.
Right. And I think, I make a comment on YouTube and, you know, tell us what you think, but I really hate the fact that they chopped it up. Like, one of the reasons why I watch the show is for the runway.
So, mm-hmm. Milk stood out for you. What about you? Who was your favorite dress?
My favorite. I'm sorry, I have to read my notes. You guys keep on talking.
But, okay, so, while they were doing the runway, the guest judges were Luciano again, and Cheryl Lee... Ralph.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jocelyn. Jocelyn was
there. We go.
Favorite.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. I like Jocelyn, and I liked. I liked Bender LeCreme's outfit, but I think she could have done better. I liked it, but it wasn't my.
I liked Laganja's dress. I didn't like her headpiece.
Yeah, the bird thing.
Yeah I actually liked the headpiece more than I liked.
I actually liked Adore's dress. And I think would have helped, because she was in those high, thick stilettos. I think if she had on smaller heels, the dress would have gone further down to the floor. I think that was probably
the pick. If you can't cinch yourself, then you should pad yourself.
Yeah, I agree. Come on, was girl. Darian wearing shower shoes? Because that's what it looked like to me when she came.
I'm wearing mine today.
Yeah, you're wearing your shower shoes.
Oh, we're going back to the motherland.
Darian's asides are amazing.
They are amazing.
Her what?
And
her asides.
Not just her asides, but when you're watching Untucked and they do the clips of her, like,
facial features
and other people are talking, they're amazing.
No, the one thing that... She knows how to rip.
Yes,
and
she does.
And it was just like, What was it when she was taught when Rue
Fran
was asking?
Fran Drescher steamrolled by a dying
when Rue duck. Was asking Trinity if she's ever done musical theater, yeah. And she said in middle school. Derry
yeah, but she played a tree.
And it's just so. And here's the thing. You have Bianca Del Rio, who is just it's all and
it's an insult
and it's intentional. Mm-hmm. Well, all of them are intentional, but hers is just. And then you have Gia, who you know, once she gets to reading, like she read Jocelyn in Untucked, which I kind of felt bad for Jocelyn.
I did feel bad for Jocelyn,
but Gia came for her, and it was funny. And then you have Darren.
But here's my problem: I see Jocelyn's original point because it's like she's coming. I mean, what Gia does is fish. It's like she's a fish queen. She's coming at Milk because she doesn't understand her type of drag. And it's like Milk is still dressed like a woman. It's just it's a different type of drag,
right.
You know? It's not going to be fish queen.
But what my point was that Darian and Lake, it's not all in your face. It's just very subtle.
Yes.
Her
that's a good ripper.
Very,
yes.
It should hit you a minute later.
Yeah. Very subtle, and I love that. So going back to the judges, Luciana was judge number one or just a judge. And Cheryl Lee Ralph, for those of you who don't know, she was the original Dena Jones in the original original Broadway performance of Dreamgirls. And if you still don't know who Dena Jones was, she was the Beyonce of that.
Oh, no,
she was also the mama in Sister Act 2.
And she was, yes, and she also was the mom in Moesha, I believe. So she's been around. And I love when RuPaul has judges that actually know what's going on. And I can honestly say Khloe Kardashian was a good judge, in my opinion. I think Cheryl was an even better judge because she had not only good critiques, she knows the craft.
Yes.
And she knows... there were a couple of times where I disagree with her on certain things, like Ben De La Creme's dress. I didn't mind the big shoulder thing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I thought it was just as good without it. But when she told Trinity to put a cork in it, I thought she was coming for her, but she was actually, I think she was coming for her, but she also was giving advice.
Yes.
And I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think I should do that too, put a cork in it sometime.
Kathleen Turner got... Because she's known for the way she speaks, Kathleen Turner. She actually put pencil erasers between her back molars to get that
to
sound.
To open,
It gets a fuller sound.
Yeah, yeah. So I love when Rue has judges that know what's going on.
Yes,
and
she
they
was.
Give good critiques.
Yes, she was giving
right?
a great
so just
critique.
Get rid of Santino.
Hey, I like Santino.
You know what?
He knows for the sewing challenges.
Somebody got ripped. Somebody ripped him. Somebody ripped him, and then they cut away to Michelle cackling.
I don't remember. Was it this episode? Are you sure?
Rue, when she came out, she ripped on Santino.
Oh, she said from the... I just saw the play on Friday. What's the name of the play? Book of Mormon.
Yes.
She called him the Book of Moron.
Yeah.
And they cut away to
Michelle.
Yeah. One of our fans did comment on YouTube about how they're kind of doing this, like, Michelle versus Santino thing.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing is that if they didn't cut away, like, I want to see, watching American Idol, I never really watched American Idol. I've seen clips. When Paula and Simon Cowell would get into these tips, it was live, so it felt organic. This is just, I definitely feel like it's contrived. Maybe there is tension. Who knows?
I don't think there is.
Rue's dress, I liked it until I saw the gold in it. Otherwise, I thought it was pretty good.
I have to say, though, okay, so I'm looking at Cam's notes. Cam's notes are impeccable, by the way. Mine looked like a squirrel wrote them. And his notes say, Rue's dress, gold ruined it, with a sad face. With a sad face.
I wasn't too thrilled about this one. The Technicolor dress.
I thought
it was just...
And they came back with the bright lights thing. I was like, oh, that's a lot.
Why are you so blurry?
Are you talking about the when the song
Not
starts?
Not just that. I mean, just she's overlit.
Yeah, she's overlit. It wasn't like that for the past, like, two seasons, I think. It was really bad in the first two seasons.
My favorite quote of the whole show was in Act 1, and it's Bianca. And it's just a really, you can barely hear it on the side, and it's where Courtney's going over to the dark side, right? She just drank the fish oil or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Bianca goes, she's a man with one eye. That was I lost it. That was my favorite line of the whole show.
Yeah.
Besides Darianne's duck sound.
My unfavorite line, and I'm going to use that word, is the, okay. when Alyssa said back row over and over last season, it was funny. I think now it's like beating a dead horse. It's like they said it
like
in the back beginning.
Back row's the musical.
Well, they said it in the beginning. They made it. They said it like 5 times in the musical, and I was just like, okay, it's not for me. It's not funny anymore.
Or they should. Here's the thing: if you're gonna pick one joke like from a past season like that, I mean, I feel like they should be doing it with a lot of other in a lot of other spaces.
It's the joke is only funny because her facial expression when she was saying it.
Yes.
And that's what made the joke.
Yes.
But when it's just randomly tossed out there, we get it. I make the reference to it, but you know,
it becomes overkill.
Yeah. It's beating a dead horse. It's like, well, maybe not necessarily.
It's a black horse.
A black dead horse.
Oy vey.
So moving along.
Dark Horse.
So they do the show and it was great. Then they ran out on the runway and then literally ran out on the runway. And then the safe girls, they called Bianca and Jocelyn, Milk, and Gia and some other people for Laganja for to be safe. And then they had the remaining 6 girls to be critiqued. And I feel as though that the top 3, I thought Ben De La Creme should have won, hands down.
Agreed.
I thought he was robbed. I'm not a singer, nor I'm tone deaf, but I thought Courtney was for me, and I want to investigate this, and I wish I had more time. When she says finalist, is it like the final 2? Was she like 1 and 2?
I would kind of assume it'd probably be the top 12.
Okay.
Maybe.
And that was what I was confused.
Like, I was confused. According to American Idol.
Well, and I've never watched American Idol. Yeah. I know that, you know, Adore was on American Idol. And I watched the clips. But I just wonder where she fell into it. Because for me, I didn't think that she was that great of a singer.
Well, and think about it, too. I think that show may have also had some dick in the soup. Because she said as a boy, she was kicked out. As a girl, she made it. Producers maybe picked her for that aspect of it. Rahman. Right. Who knows?
Because
she
wasn't a really good singer. On American Idol, it's pop music. It's mostly like songs people know. This one, it's a song that it's easier to sing a song that you've heard many times before, especially if you're doing a song, like a lot of times they'll have songs within their genres. And in this one, it's like this is brand new. They've never heard it before until this point.
But I wonder, because they had the earphones on the entire time during rehearsal, I wonder if they're listening to a track that has already been laid down with the lyrics, or are they just listening to the music in their head?
I would assume they're just getting a melody.
Yeah.
But even then, her head voice was jacked. I didn't like her singing.
Adore actually wasn't that bad.
Her performance quality is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She's definitely
her
a stage person.
Yeah.
But her singing, whatever.
And I think
Ben got robbed.
Ben was robbed, only because I think they judged on singing only.
Because they geared this episode up so much.
Because if it were up to me, I think it should have been judged on singing, acting, and the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put all 3 of those together, April would not have been in the bottom 2.
No.
Even
though April was serving Dynasty realness in her last dress.
I didn't really care for the dress. I thought it was okay, but compared to some of the other ones, I thought it was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gia's dress, I thought Mermaid too, and I think Milk or Jocelyn, someone said it in Untucked.
Jocelyn said it. Or Milk, no,
Milk.
You're right, now I don't know.
You know, this Mermaid dress, and it looked two-tone. I was like, what is this? It was just weird. It was just whatever. But the audience should know what they're being judged on. Because even in Untucked, they were like, what do you think? Are we judged on just the
they don't know.
Performance? Or are we, you know, they don't know. So, you know, give us a little something. What are we judging? What are we making our judgment on? And when it comes down to it, is Rue's show anyway, because she has the final say. So, there you go. The bottom 2, I'm just, it's tough having braces. The bottom 2.
No, I'm not. What?
No, I'm just.
Oh.
There's a lot of
stuff. So the bottom 2
were Trinity. We've already discussed this. And April, they did a lip sync for Your Life to "I Am Every Woman," which you heard at the beginning of the show by Chaka Khan, the original that we pointed out before the show. And we all agree that that was the best lip sync so far.
So far
this season. And I think it has to do with the song choice.
Yeah,
because last week that Selena Gomez, I've never heard that song.
No.
And I rewatched the lip sync from last season with Mahogany and Vivian, and I think it was a Britney Spears song. I think that was a poor choice of song, too.
Yeah.
Although, and I hate to say it, they were boring anyway.
They were.
And they both
so
decided
boring.
To go home. I think
one of our fans mentioned that. Did you see that? They mentioned how boring that lip sync was. Oh, no, actually, I think that was a direct... Just kidding. That was a direct tweet to me.
No. There you go.
Okay.
So...
I'm in my own world.
So Kortniak won the challenge. And that's it. I mean, that was the show. In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Now, I think we have a little bit of time. Untucked. Okay, here's my question about Untucked. The whole pink box.
Bryce
thing.
Lee Wynn. That was the.
Hey, Bryce.
Hi, Bryce. You mentioned that to me.
Thanks for watching.
You confused me. I thought you were the white guy in the picture.
Sorry. So, okay. Laganja had the pink box moment.
Cried. And, oh, Eras. She's irritating. Eras. That's a word. Eras.
So, what? Okay. Elaborate. Like, for me, I was watching. I was like, oh. That was so sweet. And then she just was like...
Seriously, she thought the pink box was like this specialized gift just for her. Like, she won a big prize and it was her moment. And
girl,
was,
let me come wrap your vagina.
Fuck up.
And I was
don't care if you're a Laganja fan. You can rip on me all day. That was just over the top.
And that was the moment where I was just like, okay, I didn't like you before. I definitely don't like
you. Like, I wanted Bianca to rip on her. Like, come on, girl, let her have it.
And here's the thing is that I think Bianca knows when to let it go and then when to, like...
She doesn't want to be Fifi.
Right.
Let it go.
Because I have a feeling that she was just going to, like, girl, keep on talking. I got something for you. But she apologized. And even before the whole breakdown, after the parents spoke, the first thing you hear is Bianca say, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
And then she says, oh, I that was very lovely and blah, blah, blah. And then she made her little comment, which, if you look, I rewatched it. If you look at it, when the parents came on, her reaction was just like.
Solemn.
Yeah. There was no joy. No real tears coming down immediately. It was just like.
Which lends to the fact, and it's kind of referred to some of our comments, Laganja, she tries too hard.
Yeah.
Just like us, I guess, apparently. She tries too hard. Like, some of her, the way she speaks and the tone she uses sometimes, it's definitely...
It's irritating.
...screeching for attention. So I think the whole, like, parent thing, and then all of a sudden she realized she could turn this into a moment about her. And then she felt like she was robbed. Bitch, please.
The thing is... The thing with the parents, I'm watching it, and I'm like you, Kenny, this is so sweet. What a sweet thing. And maybe it was taking her time to sink in, which was why she was being quiet. But at the same time, not everybody gets those moments.
Right.
Not everybody on the show gets them. So it's like, I don't see why you can own this moment.
Right.
Because it's like, it's great that, you know, you get picked for this moment. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the only person who is missing their family or the only person who has had trouble with their family understanding that they're in drag or things like that. And I think the reason they wanted to turn it into a group thing was because they wanted to bond.
But that's and I totally agree, and I think that's what happens every time they have one of those video things, is that the video thing, they ask, you know, they get into in depth with, you know, the situation, and then they go around the room and everyone speaks their mind, and she took it as though this is about me. Why are you guys laughing and blah, 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 and, you know. So.
Maybe her parents are the only ones that wanted to be on the show.
And also, and I have to, this is my personal opinion about the whole parent thing. This is still a competition. I think if you're in a situation where you're competing and you need to focus and you need to, like, keep all your shit together, and then you get into these untucks, and you got your parents telling you how much they love you and how much they've neglected you, and they basically spill the beans on your entire family's history within whatever number of years. That fucks with you mentally.
Yeah.
So now you have this thing weighed on you, and you have to continue in the competition, knowing full well that all of America is going to see this. And maybe some people are, you know, stronger, and maybe some people want that. Because obviously, when they do these shows, they sign their life away. So whatever Rue wants to put on the screen, they put on the screen. And, you know, you just have to deal with it. And it makes for good TV. But at the same time, I think it's kind of unfair to the contestants because it is, for me, I would assume it is a mind fuck.
It's a mental fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
So. But again, for her to feel like it was some personal prize that she had won for such a great performance, bitch, please.
I don't even think she was that great. She blended in with the rest of them. Again, I thought she was milk at the when she first came out.
Somebody rip me on YouTube, please. So we can have a dialogue about it.
Anyway. Hey. But before that, the whole Milk versus Gia and the dress and the Jocelyn.
She was ignorant.
Thank you.
She was ignorant. It was ignorant.
She was ignorant. However, I felt as though it wasn't Jocelyn's battle to fight. I think if Milk really wanted to stand up for herself, she should have stood up for herself. And later, she chose not to because that's not, you know, what she does. So.
Maybe, but again, we don't know because maybe backstage or during taping, they became friends and Jocelyn feels Jocelyn and Milk. Maybe Jocelyn feels personally
responsible. Well, I think from what I got from it is when the whole comment about, you know, the dress and the baby and blah, blah, blah. When Milk started to give her reasons why, Jocelyn jumped in right away and was like, the reason why I like you is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the, you know, now you're picking sides and you're on Team Milk. Whereas Gia's just like, obviously I'm a 10, you're a 1, which you can't get any cattier,
right?
Cuntier than that. Right? I think that was just the lowest of lows.
Like, came for her.
Yeah.
That's like the whole,
mermaid dress, messed up makeup, wonky eye.
But what I didn't like is that Jocelyn did call her out on it. She said, you're trying to read her. And Gia was like, no, I wasn't.
Inquiring. You weren't being inquisitive. You were reading her.
Yeah. And it was unfair.
But I do agree with Kenny. I mean, at some point, you're not going to stand up for yourself. I'm not going to jump in for you. Unless she's like being completely
bullied.
Yeah. I don't think, and Milk's like, 6'4".
Come on, girl. Milk, by the way, is a very pretty boy.
Yes.
Out of drag.
Kenny does not speak therapy on this now.
Well, I'm just saying, that's just my personal opinion. Okay. Do we have anything else? I think we covered everything, just about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just do predictions. Now, what do you mean, now? So, next week, we have the... Why can't I think? Snatch Game.
Yes!
So, Snatch Game is next week.
Snatch Game.
I just love it. The only female on the panel, aside from Marissa, is just loving the Snatch Game.
Love the Snatch Game. It's my favorite.
She loves Snatch.
Thank you. You see what's going on. Okay. So, what are your predictions?
That's not what I meant. I just like people impersonating
people. Top three, Jackie. Hit it.
Or, wait, who do you think is going to do well in the Snatch Game?
Who do I think would do well in the Snatch Game?
From what you saw.
Ben is... Courtney. I think Ben's going to win the Snatch Game. I think Courtney will do well. I think Bianca would do well.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm kind of
rooting for Ben and Gia
to win it all. Or just
to do well in the Snatch Game.
Yeah,
because I want a good ripper, and I think that Jocelyn is actually sneaking up. Well, she definitely for me is the dark horse in this. I think she's a lot more calculated.
I think for those of you who know, Snatch Game is a ripoff of the Match Game, which they basically asked. Oh, I can do this next week. What am I doing? I think Ben is going to do well, and that's it. And we're done. Thank you for watching.
I think Trinity's going home.
Trinity will eventually go home. Where can we find you, Cameron?
At
Tamakava 777.
Jackie?
At 123Jackie_B on Twitter. At 123JackieB, all one word, on Instagram.
You can find me at Lounging with Tony on all platforms. I'm just kidding. That is where you can find Tony. He's not here, but he's Lounging with Tony.
On all platforms.
On all platforms, including Grindr and Scruff. And you can find me at KAYSEEH25.
You can find him through my Twitter.
On Twitter. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks, guys. Thanks for watching YouTube, iTunes.
Palm trees.
And AfterBuzz TV. Thanks, we're out.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.